complaining, critical, and self-righteous, short-sighted, limited, and set in our ways, inadequate, and oh so human. How does God ever manage to turn us into the church? How is it that such flawed human beings have sustained Christ's ministry through the ages, have endured as witnesses to God's grace, mercy, and love? Even the very first disciples were afraid, uncertain, confused, skeptical, and weak. And yet, they became people capable of speaking publicly about God and welcoming all kinds of people in Jesus' name. How did God manage it? The answer is found somewhere in this story from Acts chapter 2. I'll read the first 12 verses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" God infuses us with something of God's own self, God's own power. It happened first on the day of Pentecost long ago, and it still happens today. Don Mosley was part of a church community that dedicated themselves to helping resettle refugees. Cubans, Laotians, Vietnamese, Chinese, Hmong, and Cambodian. This church, called Jubilee Partners, welcomed them all, took them in, taught them things like how to use appliances, how to ride a commuter train, how to navigate the county courthouse, how to find their way to the local schools. These hosts and refugees feasted together, hiked together, worshipped together, and lived together in the same small community. The refugees shared their stories of the trauma that they had been through. The hosts shared their land, their resources, their beat-up old school bus. When the day came that Jubilee Partners was commended for the outstanding work that they had been doing with the refugees, they were surprised, and they paused to reflect. "Well, yes," they agreed, "it's true, we did feel God working among us." But, Don was quick to clarify, we were not the source of what was happening. God was the source. We were privileged to have box seats at an amazing show, and, in fact, to be actors in that show as well. God is the one. God is the one who gives us power to do any good that we are able to accomplish. And God does it in a way that's hard to describe. There is no flat, prosaic way to explain the existence of the church, says William Willimon, or how once timid disciples found their tongues and began to proclaim Christ. All we can say is that the rushing wind, which moved over the face of the water at creation, is blowing again, bringing something new to life. Something has come upon us which could be described as tongues of fire resting on each of us. We can no longer be silent and still. God's Spirit is prompting us to speak, not about ourselves, but about Jesus. God's Spirit is prompting us to act, not for ourselves, but for Jesus. After Christ's resurrection, after Christ's ascension and reunion with God, the same power of God that was manifest in those events is given to us. God's Spirit is poured out upon us so that we can carry out the work that Christ began and keep alive the message that he proclaimed. How it works may be hard to explain, but we can see evidence that it does work. Peter, who's well known for denying Christ three times on that night that he was taken into custody, when the Holy Spirit is given, becomes the chief spokesperson for Jesus. This same chapter, verse 14, reports that Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed this huge crowd. Indeed, his message is recorded. He quotes prophets and kings and gives a convincing account of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. Peter is one example of God's Spirit having the power to accomplish God's purposes in spite of all obstacles. We may be weak vessels. We may be poor examples of the faith, but God can work through us anyway. Will Campbell remembers a friend who went by the name of Peebo, who chewed tobacco, drank too much, used bad grammar by choice, and intentionally offended people by the names he called them. Some people thought this man should be ostracized from the community. But when a tremendous blizzard came and overwhelmed the little valley, knocking out power lines and burying the roads, Peebo was out all night in his bulldozer, rescuing stranded drivers, delivering firewood and coal, bringing food and medicine to people who might not have survived that storm had they not been brought these things that they needed. God's Spirit blows where it will, and sometimes it lights a fire in the hearts of those we would least expect to be the ones chosen to carry on Christ's ministry. This fact has led Christy Lambertson to suspect that the Holy Spirit rides a Harley. As she makes the choice to climb on to this vehicle and go zooming away, she realizes, I'm not the one driving this thing, which makes me feel both afraid and tremendously free. We cannot control the Spirit. We can only watch in amazement at what it accomplishes and where it takes us. Watching the Spirit bring the church to life, some have said, is a little bit like watching a master power switch get thrown. A home, an office building, a stadium, even a Christmas tree may have wires and sockets, filaments and glass bulbs, but light is only a potential until someone turns on the power. Once the current is on, light pours out, creating visibility, warmth, hope, and good cheer. Now the equipment is truly fulfilling its purpose. God is the source of the Spirit. In pouring it upon us, God is flipping that switch. As Peter quotes the prophet Joel to affirm, God is prepared to pour out God's Spirit on all people, old and young, men and women, people of every nation. We can all be lit up with God's vision for the future. However, the Spirit will not force itself on anyone. God will not come where God is not welcome. So if we want to be involved in the amazing movement of God's Spirit, if we want to be in the show, as Don Mosley said, if we want to cooperate with what God has in mind, if we want to link ourselves to the power source, there are a couple things we need to do. One is to hang out with the community of believers. The other is to be baptized. Michaela Brzezi likes to point out that the manual for discipleship ought to come with a warning label that says, "Do not try this alone." Christianity, she says, is meant to be lived in community, reminding us that Jesus formed a community of disciples when he was here on earth. He sent those disciples out in ministry in pairs or groups. He promised that wherever two or three are gathered, he would be among us. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends upon the gathered community, not upon isolated individuals, upon the gathered community. The community waits together, prays together, looks for God together, and when empowerment comes, becomes the church doing God's work in the world. No one ever claimed or promised that the community would be perfect. The claim is only that the community has the potential to open itself, to open those within it to the workings of God and God's Spirit. Baptism is a symbolic way that we deliberately invite God into guiding our lives, being the motivating force in our lives. We use water to wash away past allegiances so that we can give ourselves fully to God. We don't literally light ourselves on fire. Our faith is never about doing harm to ourselves or others. But we do ask the Holy Spirit to work within us, fanning the flames of our faith so that we may do God's work in the world, and others then may be drawn to the light and the warmth of Christ burning in us. When those who have listened to the disciples, all those languages, heard what Peter had to say on the day of Pentecost, when they then ask, "What should we do?" Peter answers, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." With this in mind, I invite you once again, if you would like to learn more about the community and the ministry of PVUMC, to attend tonight's 6 p.m. gathering. And if you are sensing God's call to baptism, and or to church membership, I ask that you would be in touch with me sometime this week so that we can prepare that opportunity for next Sunday. The day of Pentecost is only the beginning of a long sequence of events from that day until now, in which God lights the fire in the followers of Jesus so that we may speak boldly, act decisively, and allow greater knowledge of God to flow into the world. Just as the Spirit gives the disciples ability to speak in so many different languages, so today the Spirit energizes a wide variety of gifts and responses to God's love. We've experienced ourselves the good news that some among us are called to take leadership in paying down the debt. Some among us are called to serve in Guatemala or to support those who serve. Some are moved to feed hungry people in our very own community. And some realize the importance of being involved citizens who advocate for policies and programs that could eliminate hunger in our great land. This morning, recognizing the diversity of our gifts and our different ministries empowered by the Holy Spirit, we not only are celebrating the elimination of the debt, we are not only preparing for the Guatemala Mission Project, we also have an opportunity today to make our voices heard on behalf of the 36 million people in this country, including 13 million children who do not have enough to eat. As you leave the service this morning and you enjoy the coffee and the lemonade and the cookies, you will find also adjacent to the coffee table a table with information about Bread for the World's effort to make hunger history. Craig Roberts actually was kind enough to bring paper and pens and his laptop so that he could look up anybody's elected official, any address. He can find it if he just knows your address, so that you could actually write a letter in support of legislation today before you leave. Alternatively, you could take home the bulletin insert that says Make Hunger History and set aside some time during the week to write a letter. There is a lot going on around here right at the moment. It may be a bit confusing or overwhelming or chaotic even, but after all, this is the day of Pentecost. through the gift of God's Spirit, God is transforming us from ordinary people to people who can do God's work in this beautiful and deeply troubled world. We can give thanks that critical, cranky, and misguided though we may be, God breathes God's Spirit upon us, and we have the hope of becoming something new. Breathe on me, breath of God. Mighty God, like wind stirring in the trees, like wind rippling across the water, you make your presence known. Like fire dancing in the dark and releasing light and heat, you don't let things stay the way they were. Like the breath of someone so near and dear to us that we can feel it on our faces, you whisper to us that we are loved and meant to live in the power of that love. You manage through your Spirit, O God, to bring us alive with purpose. We feel the excitement of Pentecost burning within us. We lift up our dreams, our hopes, our griefs and fears, our concern for others and for the world, asking that it all be refined by your fiery grace. We join our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.